This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
It is, and good afternoon, everybody. It's actually Mike and Mike and not Carol and Mike today. It's up to you to decide which is which. It is Food for Thought on the Pulse 1077 WTPL, and we're here till 2 o'clock up on the street. We are street level. We're going to be here till 2 o'clock, as we always are, letting you know what's going on here and in the world of beer to some degree. This is kind of day two of a somewhat of a beer topic. One of the reasons is we have a beer expert, a blogger, and a darn fine radio personality. He's being molded into probably one of the stars of the future in our industry, Michael Hopley Pierce.
Oh, you flatter me too much. Thank you so much, Mike. Keep going.
I will. Just, you know, don't let your head swell up too big here. I want to let you know our show is brought to you by Mama McDonough's Irish Pub, 5 Depot Street in Hillsboro. Come find your Irish side. And Grasshopper's Garden Center, where the customer always comes first. And that should be everybody's tagline. But they come out and they tell you that's the way it is here, 728 North River Road in New Boston. Carol Lawrence, by the way, is taking the day off, so she, with yesterday, giving herself a nice four-day weekend. So we have recruited Michael Hopley Pierce from the Tap Handle podcast show and a regular every other Thursday here on the air talking about beer. And we'll do more of that in the second hour. Get my headphones plugged in here. We'll do a little bit more of that in the second hour because there's actually a big event that'll be in Manchester tomorrow that I know we want to follow up on just a little bit. Thank you for being here today. It doesn't know if it wants to rain or be sunny.
It's indecisive. It seems like it's on the fence. I think we're going to think positive thoughts, and we're just going to make that cloud cover break.
Well, just as soon as we hit the air, the sprinkles stopped, and the sunshine poked through. So we're going to give you credit for that one.
Thank you. I'm going to break in a song in a moment here if you want.
Well, maybe I'm not that excited about it. So we have the Comedy Cold Cuts coming up in a few moments, and that is our 25-minute segment every Friday, kind of get people in a good mood for the weekend, hopefully. And today it's all about beer. And if you go online and you Google beer stand-up comedy, you'll find a lot of it. Not all of it can be used on a family
here, anyway,
station, yeah. Because by nature, you know, sometimes beer can be just a little bit on the rowdy side, you know, which is fun. But we have other things to consider, like not losing the license for the radio station. All right, so are you a football fan at all?
I'm probably one of the most sports indifferent human beings you'll ever encounter.
All right, then you'll still be able to appreciate the story.
I can fake it.
So the Seattle Seahawks, of course, are who the Patriots played in the Super Bowl.
I did watch that game.
That you know.
Yes.
All right. And how many craft brews did you have, do you think, during that game?
I actually think that was sort of a single malt kind of an evening.
Oh, it was?
Yeah. But we definitely mocked the beer commercials that were on the Super Bowl. And then they produced quite a train of thoughts as far as what was behind the whole Anheuser-Busch craft beer bashing, which was a brilliant ad campaign.
You know, I don't recall that particular commercial, but typically they have the Clydesdales and the dogs, and it's pretty tough to be an American and make fun of those. But
they did all that, but then they also did a spot where they were kind of mocking bearded, tight jean wearing craft beer drinkers sniffing their goblets of beer and making fun of pumpkin peach ale. But the interesting part was that Anheuser-Busch InBev had just bought Elysian Brewing Company, which brews a pumpkin peach ale. And so all these tens of thousands of craft brewers are Googling this pumpkin peach beer, and they're trying to figure out what this has to do with Budweiser, and they find Elysian Brewing, which they'd never heard of before, and now tens of thousands of people are familiar with an Anheuser-Busch brand that will be coming to a store near them very soon.
And that's why we invite Michael Hopley Pierce to the show, because that's a story nobody would have known.
Right.
I don't think.
Well, I haven't seen much in print about it, but I thought it was brilliant that they got all these people indignant at their branding and doing research on their own to come to a conclusion. I mean, diplomacy is the art of letting other people have your way, right?
Yes.
And they succeeded that quite well.
I love it. All right, so the original conversation about the Seahawks, and I'm glad that you injected that, is they were about a yard away from winning the Super Bowl, but their starving running back was left on the sidelines, hungry to punch in the touchdown that never happened. Marshawn Lynch. Now, this is, we're moving forward now 6 months. Marshawn Lynch carried that hunger over to the offseason, where he was seen stuffing chicken wings into his socks while hosting a youth football camp in Oakland on July 15th.
Is that some kind of a thing that all the kids are doing? I mean, is it... you know, with, I can't really judge fashion statements, but putting wings in your socks, I mean, you never know. Is that, am I going to see that coming down the street here in Manchester?
God, I hope not. According to the Seahawks official site, Lynch was in the midst of his camp when he was delivered some chicken wings. Looking at pictures in the article, it looked like Lynch's shorts did not have any pockets. So obviously the only logical way to preserve his chicken wings was to stick them in his socks. When he was ready to finish the wings, he took them out of his socks and ate away. Definitely somebody you never want to share anything with.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess they were probably, you know, a nice 98.6 when he ate them, so they were just the right temperature.
I don't know. It just boggles the mind, these amazing wealthy people and the bizarre things that they do.
Yeah.
Here's one for you. Naked barista.
Okay.
You do coffee at all?
Oh, I do. I'm a coffee snob for
all
sure.
Right. So we found.
I don't generally do it naked, just, you know, because there's my insurance policy really doesn't cover most of that. But
Nestle has found a pretty risque way to promote its all-natural coffee creamer. And it's kind of working, according to the source. At an Irving's Farm coffee roasters in New York, Nestle built a pop-up to spread word of the new creamer. Nestle found a very risque way to promote its all-natural coffee creamer, and it's kind of working. What they did is they have paid actors, well-placed actors and models from an agency, greeting them butt naked. The baristas are butt naked.
Okay.
I don't know why.
I think I'll stir my own coffee in that case.
Yes, exactly. While they didn't actually serve the coffee, the nude models promoted the new creamer while rocking body paint. In New York.
Yeah, I you could probably do that here, but I think you would. I don't know what kind of a crowd you would get.
We won't try that.
Yeah.
We'll pass on that. All right, so, you know, we talk a lot about pairing foods. Typically, you hear it about wine, but I think beer has a greater, I guess, spectrum of taste potential. And I don't hear a lot about that. Is that going to be kind of the next conversation the rest of us have? I mean, you guys are on the cutting edge of craft brew and all that stuff. Do you think that there's going to be a little more conversation going forward about what to eat with something that's oaky or got blueberry, you know, aftertaste or any of that stuff?
Absolutely. And I think I'm seeing that happen. And, you know, when people talk about craft beer drinkers, that's a whole spectrum of folks. There's folks that dabble and may order a Sam Adams at Applebee's. And then there's people like me who, you know, have a comma on how much money they've spent on craft beer this year and have a cellar and have to bring the beer in at night when their wife's already asleep and all that kind of stuff. But I think people are already doing that. We've hosted a couple of events through the Tap Handle Show, one at Cask and Vine and one at the New England Tap House Grill, that were specifically focused on pairing New Hampshire beers with food. I think because beer does have a bigger array of flavors where it's not just tart or sweet, you know, you can have malty, you can have fruity, you can have sour, you can have oaky. There's a lot of dimensionality to it that it does lend itself to more varieties of pairing. I certainly have a lot of fun pairing stuff with beer.
Yeah, were you in any way a foodie prior to becoming interested in beer?
Oh, absolutely. I was a foodie before I was a wine guy, before I was a beer guy. So I grew up about an hour and a half from Napa Valley, and I learned how to drink wine at Mirasu Vineyards back when it was still in San Jose, and for $1 you could join the tasting panel for life, and they had about 17 varieties that they made, but if you were in the tasting panel, they'd take you in the back room, and you could take Chardonnay right out of the cask and drink it just freshly oaked, a year on oak, and really kind of pick apart the flavors and get an education without having people make fun of you. And I kind of took that and built a little bit of formal cooking training, which was essentially a class in junior high school that I took, and sort of added those all together. And a lot of that terminology and the ability to discern specific flavors I've sort of applied to my beer drinking and beer making.
So are you saying you were underage when you were served initially?
No. Absolutely. Okay. I never had anything to drink before I was 21. No, they check your ID when you join the tasting panel there. Okay. But it was my junior year in college. A good friend of mine lived right around the corner from this winery, which has since moved. But it was a fifth-generation single-family winery. It was the oldest family-owned winery in the country. And they were just really unpretentious. And they would help you recognize what you were tasting and isolate a flavor and be able to learn what you like and what you don't like without making you feel like a fool, which is important.
There's a million cookbooks out of recipes and wine pairings. I haven't seen any that include beer, but then again, you know, there's so many cookbooks out there. There must be some that are dedicated to the hopheads and the foodies kind of combined.
I would say a good place to start would be The Brewmaster's Table by Garrett Oliver. He's the brewmaster at Brooklyn Brewery, and he gets that. He has that down.
Does he have a book out?
Yeah, it's called The Brewmaster's Table. And it's a fairly long book. It's got beautiful pictures, but it's all about exactly what you just said. So that would be a good resource to start with if you're looking to pair beer with food.
I'm trying to think of the name of the show on the Food Network, or maybe it's on one of the other channels that is devoted to craft beer. The guy's got like a big white kind of Fu Manchu and glasses, and he's kind of funky looking. Actually, I think he's African American. If that helps.
Oh, when he wears the beret.
Yeah.
Right. I'm drawing a blank on the show, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's pretty interesting, and there's a lot of other shows as well. So there is now a new food that somebody has come up with, and I need to try it. It's a grilled cheese roll up.
Okay.
Are you a grilled cheese guy?
Oh, yeah, all day.
I mean, how many beers would go great with, you know, a nice grilled cheese?
And I'm a cheese guy, so we always have like 10 or 15 different kinds of cheese in the fridge at any given time.
Do you?
We just buy too much cheese, so.
Man, I need to move in with you. Tomorrow I'm finding out. Anytime you want to throw the wife out, I might apply. No, I didn't say that. So what you do is you flatten the bread, put a couple slices of American cheese, then roll them up like, well, it says here, a joint. I don't think you need to taper the edges.
Right, yeah.
You want the cheese to ooze out.
And if you're going to be serving it to anyone else, definitely don't lick it.
Yeah, exactly. I guess maybe this was written for an audience in Colorado or something about the joint reference. After that, what you do is you butter the outside, all the exposed areas of the rolled-up bread that has been flattened, and then you just put it on the griddle, and you just keep turning it enough so that each of the, you know, however, well, there's an endless number of sides to a roll-up, but until it's all brown, by then the cheese is starting to leach out of the end, and you've got a grilled cheese roll-up.
Now you're making me hungry. All I had was a protein bar this morning.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Well, I tell you what, we need to take a break. He's Michael Hopley-Pierce. I'm Mike Morin. Carol Lawrence away. We are broadcasting street level today, right out front of the Beacon Building, 814 Elm Street. And today, the Midtown Cafe, I'm looking at the sandwich board because we can do that when we're outside. Pastrami sandwich, tuna salad wrap, and lobster chowder. There's some nice variety for you. Some good eats at the Midtown Cafe. Normally, the studios are downstairs. On Friday during the summer, most of the Fridays, we bring it outside, and the rain has gone. The sun is back. It's a beautiful day. You can come by and say hello if you like. Next up is Comedy Cold Cuts, a bunch of selections of comedians having fun with beer, which seems to be the natural hand-in-hand experience.
I always have fun with beer. Right. I have fun no matter what I'm doing, especially when I'm here with you, Mike.
Oh, thank you very much. I love this boy. All right, we're going to do that next. This is the Pulse 107.7 WTPL Food for Thought. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Yeah, that's us, the Pulse 107.7 WTPL. I'm Mike Moore, and he's Michael Hopley-Pierce. Carol Lawrence, who normally in this position, is away today, back on Monday, enjoying a few four-day weekends over the course of the summer. She works hard, so yeah, do it, girl. Integrity Health Coaching Solutions is one of our sponsors of Bedford and Londonderry, IntegrityFit.com. And speaking of Carol, owner of Red Arrow Diners, Manchester, Milford, and the new drive-through in Londonderry, first of their stores that you can actually not even have to get out of your car to get your meal. RedArrowDiner.com. Coming up, not this weekend, but on August 1st, something I want to talk to you about. It's a young boy and a family that's going through emotional distress and financial as well, I'm sure. Bryce Strong Family Fun Day and Benefit to support Concord youth Bryce Haynes in his battle with Hodgkin's lymphoma. He's 10 years old, was diagnosed in April, and so the family has decided together, or somebody has, I'm not necessarily saying that this was the family's idea, but I'm sure they're most appreciative, started his treatment at Concord Hospital, then needed to be moved to Children's Hospital at Dartmouth or CHAD, and that's where he's currently getting his medical treatment. So to support the cause, we invite you to stop by August 1st. From 11 to 4 at Eagle Square Park, 1 Eagle Square in Concord. It goes from 11 to 4, a complete family day. There is no admission, but I can tell you a donation would be much appreciated. The event is free, like I said, so please help them out. GoFundMe.com, by the way, is running a crowdsourcing way to raise some money. So it's GoFundMe.com/Bryce Haynes, B-R-Y-C-E-H-I-N-E-S. So tomorrow, and we'll get into this in greater detail with my co-host Michael in a few moments, the Granite State Brewers Association presents Summerfest, and I thought this would be a good excuse, not that you really need one, a good opportunity to go to the internet and find some great stand-up comedy where the topic is beer. We do this every week. We pick either a food holiday or something going on in the news, and we just kind of riff off of it as a theme for 20, 25 minutes with as many comedy cuts as we can put in there. And I didn't think you would have any objection to that today.
You had me at beer, Mike.
So our first selection is by a, well, it's actually not a person. It's Triumph the Insult Dog Comic. Now, this is the dog that's extremely rude, and believe me, these snippets from Triumph are actually pretty short. But if you've not seen him, it's actually a puppet, and it's a really rough around the edges dog that has a cigar in its mouth all the time. And as his title would suggest, he just basically insults everybody up and down.
I think I went to college with him, actually.
You probably did. So today, his topic is Great American Beer Festival. And just to set this up, I believe there was a beer festival. It may have been in Colorado.
Yeah, they have it every year.
Oh, they do. Okay. I mean, this is big.
Definitely.
Right?
It draws international acclaim, and people save up all year to just go do this one beer.
Have you been to that one yet?
I have not. We keep saying that we're going to try to take the Tap Handle Show on the road and head out there. But
you could do a year's worth of podcasts there.
I totally could, yeah.
But then you wouldn't get any drinking in.
I would find
you would, huh?
Sleep is not that important.
It's
when
overrated.
I prioritize it, I rearrange Maslow's hierarchy of needs and put beer at the top
my.
And sleep towards the bottom.
Here he is, the self-actualized Michael Hopley Pierce. Wow. I caught that reference.
I appreciate that.
All right. So Triumph the Insult Dog Comic is our first one. This is actually fairly short. This is where he is going up and talking to people who are actually just visiting the Great American Beer Festival in Colorado. So here is Triumph the Insult Comic Dog.
The Great American Beer Festival, also known as the Distant Fathers Expo. Every year, hundreds of people come to beer festivals like this one to see what it's like to not drink alone. Yes, this is the opposite of AA. This is Alcoholics Conspicuous. It's also a craft beer festival. Yes, there are thousands of unnecessary microbrews on display here. But when it comes right down to it, any one of these beers will make you more racist.
Oh, I'm here with the guy from the Pringles can. Where are you from?
Yeah, from Rochester, New York. Flew all the way in from Denver. We're drinking some beers today. And
you came on your antique tricycle, I see. You don't mass produce this
stuff. No, we don't. We do a few kegs at a time.
Right.
And we call that small batch brewing.
I see that you also bathe in small batches. Come here, Joe.
I do.
I'm a microbrew connoisseur.
No, we're all done with that one. That one's done.
Yep.
All right, very good. But but you're going to have to move it ahead to 4.5 minutes, and I'm just kind of coaching him through this because I kind of threw a curve at J-Dog where I actually put two of our needed selections on one cut. So that was Triumph the Insult Dog Comic, and I can't remember what the punchline was to the jokey star, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't family-friendly, so that's why it ended there. All right, so the second part of this is actually another joke told by Triumph the Insult Dog Comic. It's pretty short, and J-Dog, if you have it, this is Triumph again telling a joke at the bar.
Oh. The streets.
All right, so I
people never learn.
All right, so we'll cue Jim Brewer back up, and we'll get to that in a minute. So anyway, tell me a little bit about he was kind of making light of the fact that there's a certain element that attends these special brew craft fairs. Was he just stereotyping, or is there a certain element of people you look around and say, yeah?
Well, it was more of a male-dominated thing, I think, initially, but it certainly isn't now. I think something like 35% of craft beer drinkers are women, and you certainly see a lot of women at these festivals, not just, like, rolling their eyes and hanging out with their men, but going on their own or going in groups of women or being active participants versus just something they were dragged to in exchange for, you know, going to Pottery Barn or something. But I think the brewer mystique is certainly the bearded. I'm like the only brewer I know that doesn't have a beard, and all I can blame is genetics. I think that it's probably an accurate portrayal to a point, but the the bathing in small batches. I don't know. I haven't necessarily found that.
We have to share a mic because suddenly my microphone has gone dead. All right. So, J-Dog, hopefully you're all set with our next comedy cold cut selection today. This is Jim Brewer, which, by the way, is a perfect name for somebody who's into beer, though he spells it B-R-U-E-R. And this is called Beer and Liquor Don't Mix on The Pulse.
People never learn when to quit drinking. It's not that you don't have to drink. If you don't want to get sick, it's very simple. What you do is, here's an easy analogy for everybody. Next time you go drinking, you have to remember, it's like having a party, right? But the party is in your stomach. The stomach is the bouncer. He's the door guy. You don't want to annoy him, right? Now, when you have a party, you invite your friends, you invite your family, because you know everyone gets along. No problems. Same thing when you have a party in the stomach. Now, if you're going to invite alcohol, stick to one group. Like beer, you can mix up all the beer you want, because beer knows one another. They show up the stomach. He's here, I'm telling you, man. Hey, stomach, what's up, man? Listen, it's just us beer, you know? Looking for a little party, hang out, you know? Now, you know everyone. You know Coors Light, Sam Adams, Beck. Un cello! He's crazy, man. He's nuts, man. You know Heineken, you know? And your stomach's cool with that.
All right. Come on in. Just keep it down, all of you, understand?
Beer goes, are you sure? Because there's like 20 of us here, man. Beer goes in, having a good time. Now,
three.
A party. People find out about parties. So does other liquor. Next thing you know, a couple of scotches show up.
How are you, stomach? Could you got a great party going on in there? Well, they cut you in some big pipers. What do you say?
Stomach, I don't know. Come on, show them that. Just want to blow them out. Now you're mixing a crowd up, stomach lets them in. Now that's when tension starts. People don't know one another, and that creates tension. Scotch is walking around with his boys. Come on, boys, look at there, look at that.
Look at it, look at it. Oi! Heineken! Right here, you rot bastard, you. Don't like you.
And now there's a lot of tension. You can feel it going on in there, but now everyone's showing up. Jägermeisters and Sambuca, sake.
Oh, how's the party here tonight? What a big party. Come here, put all my friends. Come on.
Now the place is packed. There's a lot of tension. Everything's getting out of control. You're still...
Hey, hey, come on, guys. I'm not going to tell you again. Keep it down.
Tied up to here now. And that's when the crazy people always crash the party. Who always shows up at the end of the night? Tequila. And tequila doesn't show up alone. There's always 8 or 9 of them lined up. Stomach gets all brave. How you doing, tequila? Listen. Listen. All right? It's a little late. Can't let you in tonight. I'm sorry. You know? So I let you in 3 weeks ago. You ruined the place. You hear me?
The kid's like, come on, man, we won't start no trouble, man. We just came here to have a good time, man. Right, senor? That's right, senor. We left the worm back in the van. He won't mess with nobody, man.
Like an idiot, your stomach lets in one shot of tequila. And then he sneaks in all his friends when no one's looking.
Come on, man, ain't nobody looking. Go to the legs. Go get the worm. We're going to go get the bone.
Your stomach. All right, that's it. Everyone, get out.
There you go. That's Jim Brewer. A beer and liquor don't mix.
I think I've been to that party.
Yeah, well.
I may have actually hosted it.
Oh, really? You won't be hosting that today.
Not today.
I'm hoping. Yeah, it's funny that we would play that because today is National Tequila Day.
Oh.
Which I suppose if I were to pick my favorite, if I were to pick my poison, it would probably be tequila.
It kind of depends on the application. If I'm going to be doing a shot of something, I would say I'd like a shot of nice tequila. But from sipping standpoint, I like sipping rum and single malt, you know, when it comes to spirits.
Sure. All right. Well, there you go. So we're about halfway through our cold cuts, our comedy cold cuts here on Food for Thought with Carol and Mike, with Michael Hopley Pierce filling in. We've still got a little bit more to go. We're going to hear from Mike Powell and John Reap with Beer Math. See how that all adds up. We'll come back on the other side with more on Food for Thought, WTPL 107.7 The Pulse, right after these.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Hello and welcome back, everybody. 107.7 WTPL The Pulse with Michael Hopley Pierce. I'm Mike Moore and in for Carol Lawrence, who is away today. We are broadcasting live from the beautiful brick sidewalk in front of the Beacon Building at 814 Elm, and we're also kind of sharing a little space in the big window of Groland Communications, who are kind of our partners in the technology of this, because there's a little hole that's drilled through the woodworking of their plate glass window in the front where we have to feed a line through that gets plugged inside. So they're helping us out today, and we do appreciate and thank them for that. I just saw an open parking space a minute ago. And I never, ever see a parking space open in this block unless I'm standing here. When I'm in my car, I need a place to park. It's never there.
I actually got lucky and I parked four cars away. I pulled in and there happened to be a car pulling out right in front of me. And I put on my blinker and just the parking god smiled upon me.
They did. We are right across the street from Gentle Dental, in case you're just trying to picture where, because people say, where's the Beacon Building? And we're just up a little bit and across the street from what used to be J.W. Hill's Sports Bar and Grill. They closed down pretty much unexpectedly a couple of months ago and have not heard what will be going into that space, but wouldn't you agree it would probably some kind of something involved with beer would be a perfect...
That would be a wonderful location for a brew pub, kind of, if it had the right access as far as a loading dock and the right concrete floor and the right height of ceilings for fermenters. But from a location standpoint,
oh, man,
it would just be phenomenal. I would imagine it's probably pretty hefty rent based on the location and the size.
Yeah, it's the Pembroke Building.
Yeah, but for the right person with the right pockets and the right plan, it could certainly be phenomenal.
And I would not be one of those people. I'm not sure about you. I don't want to speak on your behalf.
I do not have those pockets. In fact, I think my pocket has the same kind of hole in it as the window does behind us. Dear Liza.
So this is the comedy cold cut section. Actually, we might just let Mike talk for, you know, let him do the next bit of the comedy. But we move on. This is a comedian by the name of Mike Powell. And if you try to Google him, it's M-Y-K. I'd have a fancy variation of a classic name.
His parents were losing a Scrabble game and just had to come
yeah,
up with something.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, that Y is like 12 points.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so he is questioning why non-alcohol beer, which seems pretty pointless, right? Would you agree? This is Mike Powell on The Pulse.
Which brings me to my question, ladies and gentlemen. How dumb have we become as a society? I mean, when did it become necessary for the mountains on my beer can to turn blue before I knew it was cold enough to drink? You may find this hard to believe, but I've had more than one or two beer cans in my hand in my life. And never have I been sitting there going, huh, I wonder if that beer is cold enough to drink. If there was just some way I could figure out how, hey, the mountain turned blue, party time. At least it's not non-alcoholic beer. That's useless. It's like taking the alcohol out of beer is like taking the stupid out of pot. You know, I was like, where did that come from? Was there ever a guy that went, say, bartender, come here. I want to get that bloated, headachey, got to pee every 10-minute feeling without the benefit of women looking better. Can you do that for me? Sure, have an old duel, faithful bride. There you go.
Well, there you go. That's Mike Powell and the pointless non-alcoholic beer. Do you have any thoughts on that? I'll let you swallow your goldfish first.
I thought my goldfish were off camera here. Yeah, on the podcast that I host, the Tap Panel Show, we review some news items every week, and we just recorded an episode a couple of days ago, and one of the items we reviewed was a guy who said, all right, I want to find out if you can actually catch a buzz from non-alcoholic beer. So he bought a six-pack, and he actually videoed the whole thing You can find it on YouTube. I believe he's called Beer Idiot or The Beer Idiot. Yeah, well, the name tells all. You can judge that book by its cover. So he bought a six-pack of Busch NA, which is about 0.4% alcohol, under the 0.5% threshold that they can still call themselves non-alcoholic.
Okay.
And he downed them in, I don't know, 3 or 4 minutes on an empty stomach and then proceeded to up them.
Yes.
Just because that was...
Yeah.
What do you expect, man?
For a guy named Beer Idiot, we'd expect that.
So, and then he did a breathalyzer, and his breathalyzer came out as 0.01. And I think the threshold in New Hampshire is 0.07. So 0.01 is less than you would get from a tablespoon of Robitussin.
Okay. Now, I certainly don't want to get graphic or disgusting here, but by virtue of the fact that he eliminated it from his system, did that give what little alcohol there was enough time to...
No, it was
get into
not
his bloodstream.
It was not a full empty of the tank. It was just a partial empty. It was, he probably only lost 4 to 6 ounces. They covered it with a little rainbow graphic on the video.
Oh, did
so
they?
It's tough to actually make a volumetric assessment, you know.
Yeah.
There was a flow meter in place, I probably would have had a better idea. But I think he got most of it in. It's just, you know, you can only take up alcohol so quickly. And if the solution in your stomach is less than 0.4%, which it would have to be because there's other stuff in there.
Sure.
It's going to take you forever to uptake enough alcohol. You'll probably process most of that liquid through before you have a chance.
Well, I know that the decaffeinated coffee, and I heard this or read this somewhere, so don't hold me to the exact figure, could be up to 16% caffeine.
Oh, okay. I know it's not caffeine-free.
No, it's not.
But no alcohol beer is actually, I believe, regulated that you have to have it below 0.5%. Now, as far as buying it, the federal government doesn't differentiate, so you still have to be 21 to buy it.
To get an Old Duels or whatever?
Yeah.
Are there any craft beers that are NA, or is that just not quite in the radar?
The process is difficult because you have to brew the beer, and then you have to remove the alcohol after. Oh, my ride's here. I got to go.
See you later, Mike.
You have to brew the beer and then remove the alcohol. They didn't notice me.
They're still driving. We actually paid them to drive by to prove that we're really outside today because it was far too calm
so far. That was a great soundbite. It actually did the nice little fade from left to right on the headphones.
It did,
yeah,
if you're listening in stereo, which we hope you are.
Doppler effect on there.
All right, we don't want to lose our time here. Our final beer segment here on Comedy Cold Cuts. This is John Reap and Beer Math.
So I guess I should tell you guys I love beer. You got beer drinkers in here? Oh, my God. That's my kryptonite. That's my weakness. I'd marry beer if I could. Will you, beer, take me to be your awfully wetted husband until a DUI do us part? I'd like to meet the guy that invented beer and then buy that dude a beer. I even love those old beer slogans, man. You guys remember this one? This old Milwaukee. It don't get no better than this. Yes, it does. They should say, old Milwaukee. It don't get no cheaper than this. That's why you buy it. That's why you've ever bought it. I know you've all done that beer math in your head, right? You're in front of the beer cooler at the grocery store. You're freaking out. Hang on, I get this. I can figure this out now. Hang on. Okay. Here's the deal. Here is the deal. We can get a case of Heineken or 15 cases of old Milwaukee. That's a no-brainer. That's Milwaukee every time. How much fun do you want to have? I like Budweiser. That's my favorite beer. Budweiser. Not because of the way it tastes or anything, but because it's the easiest one to order when you're hammered. Bartender says last call, you cannot say Heineken after 15 Heinekens. Last call, what can I get you? Heineken. Bud.
And there you go, wrapping up today's Comedy Cold Cuts section, the theme, beer. Did you enjoy that?
I did. You know, I got to say, I haven't been that guy in front of the cooler in a while, but when I was in college, it was, you know, the early 90s. It was sort of the first craft beer revolution. And we would often go through that. It's like, oh, what do we really want to do today? And we generally erred on the side of craft beer, I got to say, because when we'd have the parties, we couldn't have keggers anymore. They didn't let us have keggers at Cal State Hayward. So we would have pallet parties where we're bringing pallets of cases of natural ice. Natty ice, that was the poison of choice, and there would always be leftover cases, so we never really, we could go down to the Coke machine in the basement of the fraternity house, and it actually dispensed cheap beer, so 25 cents a can, it was the best deal in
this
town.
Is Cal State what?
Cal State Hayward. They actually changed the name because Hayward's such a ghetto, they changed it to Cal State East Bay now.
Oh!
Just across the bridge from Palo Alto, so sort of South Bay, East Bay.
Wow. So, yeah, sorry, you grew up in near wine country, so yeah. you stayed and went to college there, and
yep.
then somehow, for some reason, moved to New Hampshire.
Well, you know, Twister picked me up with my dog, and there was this lady riding a bicycle outside the window. It was years of therapy have made me block that. Thanks for bringing it back up, Mike.
That's okay. All right, I'll stop it right there.
Just when I was on the cusp of being self-actualized.
Well, you still have that chance because we have another hour to go. I have some interesting beer-related topics. We'll talk about the Big Brew Fest, which is coming up tomorrow in Manchester, that you know a lot about. Did we have the conversation about Brewtroleum?
We haven't, but I think we must.
We will. That's something I've been keeping in my little folder for about 3 weeks, and every time I see you, I forget to bring it up because you typically have a guest with you.
I do.
But Brewtroleum could be the future of powering our vehicles.
All right.
All right, Michael Hopley-Pierce, Mike Moore, and it's Food for Thought. Carol is away. We're going to take a quick break for news. Be back with more hijinks on Elm Street on WTPL The Pulse.